on his mic. I'm an alcoholic. I wrote a few things down just so I don't forget. I hope I share the message good. Let's see. I never left my name in no phone basket so I could be a 10-minute speaker, but Randy called me up tonight and asked me to speak, and I've been taught that in A, when you're asked to do something, you do it, and that's why I'm up here. When he called me, he had said, that is if you're going to the meeting tonight, and I wanted to say no. But I said yes. Okay, that's why I'm up here. And I've been here for 9 years. I sat in the back of the room a lot, but I'm up here now. Okay. This is how it was when I was, you know. Let me see here. Okay. Well, when I was growing up, there was a lot of alcohol in the house. Parents used to fight a lot, drink a lot. I had a paper route when kids used to have paper routes. Now they don't. But so I had a lot of extra money. Used to do a little bit of drinking with the guy I see out there right now. And used to go up to Miles Liquor. And there was a guy that lived in the motel right there across the street. They'd run across the street and buy it for us. And started drinking at a young age. Went to Horse Band, junior high. Used to hang out in the PE field out there in the trees. Smoking and drinking. That's what I did in junior high. And when I wrote this out, my daughter was at the house, and I was taking a shower, and my wife came in the room, and my daughter seen this, says, "Dad, what is all this stuff?" And so, I don't know if she's back there or not, but she's usually in the back room there. So anyway, you know, there was a lot of drinking, a lot of drug use. Went to counseling, juvenile hall, the stuff that normally I did. About 18 or about 17, I got my first DUI, crashed my sister's car. Still drank and used after that. Got another one, I think, when I was about 22. They wanted me to go to SP 38 when I was 22. I didn't want to go to SP 38 because I'd been to counseling, I'd been to diversion, I'd been to all these things. And now I was old enough to make my own decision, and I told the judge no. So that was meant the other door. And then I got out. I was having too much fun using at the time. But anyway, so I got out, continued to drink and use, got a job for a distributor, and they told me, just ask. And so all I did was ask. On Saturdays, I'd get beer, you know what I'm saying? And still drank and used. Started doing a lot of other things because I started working nights. I think they heard it called dry goods. Started doing a lot of dry goods. Started getting in a lot of trouble. Kept my job. Did no significant time after that. I was just working and using. And anyway, I was getting in trouble at work, and they wanted me to go to anger management at the time, and I didn't want to go. And I was going to court at the time, and they were wanting me to go to treatment. Or no, actually, they wanted me to do 18 months. And then they told me, well, there is door number two, which is treatment, for a year and a half. And I said, oh, I didn't know what to do. So I wanted to keep my job, and I just met my wife. So I went to treatment. And I went back and told my work, well, I think I got it figured out. I'm going to go to treatment. And so it was outpatient. It was 2 hours a night, 5 nights a week, and they tested you every night. And so I started going to that, and then they told me, the lady that does the intake, she's like, well, why do you want to go here? And it was only $10 a week. And I said, because it's $10 a week. And then she's like, oh, I don't think you're right for the program. I said, no, I want to go here. Because my lawyer had told me, you know, you need to tell her that you're an addict and you need help, and you need alcoholic, you need help too. And she was some southern girl, and I guess she didn't have an alcohol background, but she just had the job. And she started telling me, oh, I don't think you're right. And you know, I said, no, you know what I'm saying? And so then they accepted me. And started going there every night, and then they tell me, you need to go to 3 meetings a week on top of these. I go, what? 3 meetings a week? And that really hurt because I didn't want to go to meetings, you know what I'm saying? I'm going out there 2 hours a night, you know, I'm testing every day, and they were testing me every day, but I could drink at night as long as I didn't drink a whole lot, because it burned off by the time I got there by 5 o'clock the next day. So I was drinking a lot, and you know, I was forging my slips a little bit, but I was having my wife do it more because she had better handwriting than me. That's what we do. We get other people to help us. And I wanted to say no. But he heard me speak the other night when I took my token, so I guess that's why he called me up. So anyway, where am I at here? Okay, so I was going to this drug court, and I was forging my slips, and I was using before I got out of it. You know what I'm saying? My work had told me, you know, any more problems, you're out of here. And I knew if I got caught with a dirty test at that drug court, I was going to go jail. So anyway, I got out of that, and I started using again, and trying to get sober, and I couldn't get sober. And a friend of mine had called me up and said, let's go to this structured step study. And, okay. You know, I went to that treatment for 18 months, and I didn't know what a structured step study was, because I went to meetings. I didn't say nothing. I forged slips and stuff. But so I said, okay, I'll go to it, I think. And he said, oh, it's at my friend's house down here, or it's at this guy's house in Eastlake. And I'm going, Eastlake, okay. And so I called him back and said, no, I'm not going. You know what I'm saying? And it was Monday night, and I remember the Jets were playing, you know what I'm saying? I didn't even like football at the time. And so I'm going to watch the Jets game. So I start watching it, and it's, you know, not that interesting. So then I picked the phone up, and I called him back. I said, yeah, I'll go with you. And the only time I used the phone before that was to call the Connect. And so he goes, okay, I'll pick you up. And so then he picked me up, and we're reading these directions, me and him. God, there's a lot of different streets down in Eastlake. It's all new down there. And we found the house, and there's about 20 guys in there. And all these guys have a little bit more sobriety than I had at the time. And we went around the room, and, well, first of all, this house was really nice. I mean, I hadn't been to a house that nice in a long time. I mean, everything had a place. There was candy put out on all the holidays. And it was nice. And because, you know, my house, the way my house was when I was using, I had a stick that went underneath the doorknob, and it went down to another piece of wood in the ground. That was the lock, so nobody could kick it in. That's the kind of house I had. And so anyway, you know, we went around the room, and all these guys are saying what they expected to get out of the step study and why they were there. And came to me, and I said, well, I'm here for my wife and kids, and this one guy, his name was Richard. He's all, what about yourself? He was an AA guy, and you know, NAA, and I felt about this high. He's all, what about for yourself? And I thought, okay, I guess that sounds good. And this other guy's, so we went around the room, and everybody said how much time they had and what they wanted to get out, and it came to me, and I had one day. And then the guy that owned the house is all, come on back. Come back next week. And he's all smiling and looking at me. You know what I'm saying? Oh, okay. And, we went outside, me and my friend, and we talked for a few, smoked some cigarettes, and then we all left. And I ran around that week getting had to get a 12 and 12, and I had already had a big book, so because I had to do the homework, because I didn't know what a structured step study was, but I found out. So I did the reading, and I went back next week, and he's all, 1 week, and I went, oh yeah, 1 week. And so then my friend came back with me that week, and then the following week, my friend, either he couldn't make it or he was not going to come or whatever. So then I decided to go down by myself, and I did. You know what I'm saying? And after about the third step, the guy that owned the house said, well, you're getting kind of far into the steps. You need a sponsor. He's all, I'm going to be your temporary sponsor. Here's my number. You call me up, and I'll go over the worksheets with you, and we can do them together. And okay, so I called him up, and I did the fourth step. And I did the rest of the steps down there. And I started going to meetings regularly. And I think after the first week, I was down there, they told me to go to meetings. And so then I went to this one meeting down here in North Park. And I happened to run into three of these guys down there. I mean, and they said, oh, hey, what's up? And, you know, and then I was going, wow, this is strange. Because they were down in South Bay, and they went up to this meeting up there, and I met them. But I kept on going back. I kept on calling them. And I kept on doing what was asked of me. And what I learned was start looking for similarities. And when somebody asks something, even in AA, you do it. And so I did. And okay, so I started going to meetings down there. They used to call me 30-second Mike because I didn't share very long at all. And then some of the guys were calling me Miracle Mike and stuff, but I kept on coming back, and that was the big thing. And since then, I haven't been in trouble at work, and I haven't went to jail, which is big. So Eddie had asked me, there was this meeting I used to go to down there in Loma Portal, down there, sports arena down there. There was a guy named Jack, an old guy. And he had, like, cataracts, so he couldn't drive down there anymore. Eddie had told me, Mike, he lives in La Mesa. Why don't you pick him up and give him a ride? So I'd pick him up, and I'd bring him down to the meeting. You know, did that for about a month, maybe a month and a half. And then one day, Eddie called me up and said, hey, Mike. Because Jack was about 80. He's pretty old. And then Eddie called me up one day and said, hey, Mike, you don't have to go pick up Jack. He went to the big meeting. Okay? So I did what was asked of me. I got to take Jack to his last meeting, which is great. What AA has given me is... it's let me be a father to my three kids. Also, you know, I'm able to help out in softball with my daughter, help out at school events. I was having problems at home with my wife and stuff. My sponsor told me, you know, why don't you do the dishes sometime? Why don't you help out shopping? You know what I'm saying? And anyway, so I do the shopping with my wife now, and I do some of the dishes. But another thing is that when they're your kids, I used to call it babysitting when I used to have to watch my kids. And my wife said, it's not babysitting when they're your kids. And that's another thing I found out in AA, that when they're your kids, it's not babysitting. Okay. It's also given me a relationship with my dad that I haven't had for about 15 years, you know, because when I turned 15, he had moved back to Texas. I hadn't seen him for a long time. And when I got sober, I just avoided him because I was too drunk and too messed up. I thought he wouldn't know if I just didn't come around. So I didn't come around for about 15 years. But it made me able to make an amends to him, go back and see him. And I did that. And anyway, I'm glad to be here tonight, and I think that's probably about all I got here. All right.